Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
Deborah and several others go in and do key roles in battles and in taking out evil people, evil kings. And none of the glory goes to the men, the heads of the tribes, because they're no longer responsible. American families, you know, the father's no longer in charge of the family. Oh, well, this is equal opportunity country. You know what? God said the man is the head of the family. You know, the woman and the man are not equal. The man has his strengths, protector, provider. The woman has her strengths, you know, nurturer. Takes care of the family, bears the children. Together, they are a very strong unit. They complete each other. But separate, they lack the things that the other one has. And for the woman, who most of the American households appear to be run by women now, not degrading women, just was not what God said you were supposed to do. You know, but when the masculine line fails, the woman has to stand up and do it. So you're doing what you can do. I don't blame you for it. I blame the masculine side. I blame the men, the fathers, for abandoning their role as the leader, as God has intended us. So we are children of Israel, and they've been taken into bondage already. They've been taken out of bondage by the judges. Captivity, out of captivity, falling apart, worshiping other gods, doing all sorts of blasphemous things. We just come out of Samson, who freed them from the Philistines. They'd been taken into captivity 40 years by the Philistines because they didn't run them all out of their country, like God said to do. So we're starting chapter 17 here now. We're on the verge of civil war between the tribes, the brothers. These are family, on the verge of civil wars here. Chapter 17, book of Judges. There was a man to Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. He said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou curedest and spakest of also in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me, I took it. And his mother said, blessed be thou of the Lord my son. When he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother, his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son to make a graven image and a molten image. Now therefore I will restore it unto thee. Thou shalt not make a graven image of anything in heaven or under heaven. They have forgotten the law already. Yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, and who made therefore a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. And the man Micah had a house of gods, made an ephod and teraphim, and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. He's created his own religious cult there. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Oh my gosh. And you can see it if you start in the beginning of Judges, you see it just gets worse and worse and worse, even though a judge will come. The last one is Samson, a Nazarite. But you see, you read closely the Nazarite rituals and things that he was supposed to keep, he never kept them. It was Nazarite in name only. That's why he thought, oh, my hair is my strength. It wasn't. Strength came from God. It was a religious thought in his head, because that's all being a Nazarite was to him, was a religious thought. But God needed him for a specific purpose, and he used him. That's a scary thing there. No king in Israel, but every man did which was right in his own eyes. Basically, there's no king. There's no God. Everyone is God. America, basically what's happened right here, right now. There's no moral guidance. There is no fathers and the families, teaching the next generation who God is, why they should worship God, who Jesus Christ is. Everything that a man thinks now, he does, just like it is here now today. Whatever comes into your mind. Bible says in the last days, the restrainer will be taken from the world. The Holy Spirit will be taken from the world. And whatever a man thinks, he will do. That's scary. Because I've had thoughts in my head, and I even get in there and argue with myself. What are you thinking? How could you even think that? But you know what? The Bible says there'll come a time when those thoughts have no equaling thought. No counterbalance in there. You know the little devil and the little angel on your shoulder? The little angel will be gone. The little devil will say, yeah, that man did something bad to you. Go over there and just chop his head off. That sounds like a good idea. I'm going to do it. Verse 7, and there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he sojourned there. The man departed out of the city of Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn where he could find a place. And he came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, as he journeyed. Micah said unto him, whence comest thou? And he said unto him, I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place. He's looking for employment. Levites would leave their cities of refuge and go out and be hired as priests in other areas. I go to sojourn where I may find a place. And Micah said unto him, dwell with me, be unto me a father and a priest, and I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year, and a suit of apparel, thy victuals. So the Levite went in. Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man was unto him as one of his sons. And Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man was become his priest, and was in the house of Micah. Then said Micah, now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite in my priesthood. So, we got a Levite joining the cult. Chapter 18, Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7. In those days there was no king in Israel, and in those days the tribe of the Danites sought them an inheritance to dwell in. For unto that day all their inheritance had not fallen unto them among the tribes of Israel, because they refused to go and take it, because God said, I give it to you. They didn't have the faith to do it. The children of Dan sent of their family 5 men from their coast, men of valor from Zor, from Estalal, to spy out the land, to search it. And they said unto them, go, search the land. Who when they came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, they lodged there. When they were in the house of Micah, they knew the voice of the young man, the Levite. And they turned to in thither and said unto him, who brought thee hither? What makest thou in this place? And what hast thou here? Why are you here? Who sent you here? And he said unto them, thus and thus dealeth Micah with me, and hath hired me. I am his priest. Yeah, I came along, and this guy needed a priest, and he hired me. They said unto him, ask counsel, we pray thee, of God, that we may know whether our way which we go shall be prosperous. The priest said unto them, go in peace, before the Lord is in your way wherein ye go. Then the 5 men departed and came to Laish, and saw the people that were therein, how they dwelt careless, after the manner of the Zidonians. Ah, yeah, some more of their brethren have adopted the ways of the Zidonians. Quiet and secure, and there was no magistrate in the land that might put them to shame in anything. There was no law whatsoever. And they were far from the Zidonians and had no business with any man. They came unto their brethren to Zor and Eshtal, and their brethren said unto them, what say ye? And they said, arise, that we may go up against them. For we have seen the land, and behold, it is very good. And are ye still, be not slothful to go and to enter and possess the land? When ye go, ye shall come unto the people secure and to the large land, for God hath given it unto your hands. He had given it unto their hands. A place where is no want of anything that is in the earth. There went from thence of the family of the Danites, out of Zor and out of Eshtal, 600 men appointed with weapons of war. They went up and pitched in Kirjath-Jearim in Judah, wherefore they called the place Mahanedan. Unto this day, behold, it is behind Kirjath-Jearim. They passed thence into the Mount Ephraim and came unto the house of Micah. Then answered the five men that went to spy out the country of Laish, and said unto their brethren, Do ye know that there is in these houses an ephod, a teraphim, and a graven image, and a molten image? Now therefore consider what ye have to do. They turned thitherward and came to the house of the young man, the Levite, even unto the house of Micah, and saluted him. And the 600 men appointed with their weapons of war, which were the children of Dan, stood by the entering of the gate. The five men went to spy out the land, went up, and came in thither, and took the graven image, and the ephod, and the teraphim, and the molten image, and the priest stood in the entering of the gate with 600 men that were appointed with weapons of war. And these went into Micah's house and fetched the carved image, the ephod, the teraphim, and the molten image. Then said the priest unto them, What do ye? And they said unto him, Hold thy peace, lay thine hand upon thy mouth, and go with us, and be to us a father and a priest. It's better for thee to be a priest unto the house of one man, or that thou be a priest unto the tribe and the family of Israel. Oh, this is a strange God that they're attaching themselves to. But they are still descendants of the patriarchs. They're still God's children. They're looking to this molten image and this priest who stands in its presence to be their redeemer. And the priest's heart was glad, and he took the ephod and the teraphim and the graven image, went in the midst of the people. So, you know, the whole thing was messed up. Graven image, molten image. Priest stole it from Micah. Yeah, I'll go and be priest from you guys. I'll make some more money. Yeah, I can see where it would be good for me. See you, Micah. So they turned and departed and put the little ones and the cattle and the carriages before them. And they went, they were a good way from the house of Micah. And the men that were in the house near Micah's house were gathered together and overtook the children of Dan. They cried to the children of Dan, and they turned their face and said unto Micah, What aileth thee that thou comest with such a company? He said, Ye have taken away my gods, which I made. I made these gods myself. Can't live without them. They bless me. They give me life. And the priest, and ye are gone away. Can't even trust a priest nowadays. He stole my gods. And what have I more? And what is this that ye say unto me? What aileth thee? It's obvious. You have my gods and my priest. Children of Dan said unto him, Let not thy voice be heard among us, lest angry fellows run upon thee, and thou lose thy life with the lives of thy household. They're willing to kill for these molten images. They're brothers. The children of Dan went their way, and when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back unto his house. I'll just go home and make more gods. And they took the things which Micah had made. You know, this, I laugh. There are people that make their own gods in America. Mm-hmm. You know, they rebuild these old muscle cars. I'm not saying anything wrong with that. I have one myself. Rebuild these old muscle cars, and they become such an idol to them. You know?
Yeah.
It can never be good enough. It can never be perfect enough. I will give it all of my time. You know what God wants from you? He wants your heart and your time. He doesn't want your money. They took the things which Micah had made and the priests which he had, came unto Laish, unto the people that were a quiet and secure. And they smote them with the edge of the sword and burnt the city with fire. There was no deliverer because it was far from Zidon. They had no business with any man, and it was in the valley that lieth in Beer-Rehoth. They built a city and dwelt therein, and they called the name of the city Dan, after the name of Dan their father, who was born unto Israel. Howbeit, the name of the city was Laish at the first. The children of Dan set up the graven image, and Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, he and his son were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of captivity of the land. The priesthood is done. It was corrupted early on, and it's done. Dan will, until the end of these written words, be idol worshipers. And they set them up Micah's graven image, which he had made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. 31 again. And they set them up Micah's graven image, which he made while all the time the house of God was in Shiloh. You know, did you just not quite get that the first time? God's house is still there. They're looking to other gods because, you know what, under this law which they created themselves, life is hard. Yeah, let's get us some other gods where life is easy, you know, debauchery and just pagan pleasures, naked orgies. Yes, that's what the flesh wants. You give the flesh all it wants, it will destroy the spirit man. He will go to sleep. Everything must be in moderation, even food and drink and any pleasure. This flesh, it's a dangerous creature. Your spirit man has to walk a fine line. You must keep it in subjection. All things in moderation. Paul says, all things are legal for the Christian. Not all things are good for the Christian. All things in moderation. Chapter 19, between the lines, understanding the Bible with Jonathan and David on WVFF 97.7. It came to pass in those days when there was no king in Israel, there was a certain Levite sojourning on the side of Mount Ephraim, who took to him a concubine. Oh, this one. Ay, ay, ay. Out of Bethlehem, Judah. And his concubine played the whore against him and went away from him under her father's house to Bethlehem, Judah, and was there 4 whole months. And her husband arose and went after her to speak friendly unto her and to bring her again, having his servant with him and a couple of asses. And she brought him into her father's house, and when the father of the damsel saw him, he rejoiced to meet him. And his father-in-law, the damsel's father, retained him, and he abode with him 3 days. So they did eat and drink and lodge there. So he went to get his wife, his concubine, obviously his second wife, or third, or fourth, or 17th, we don't know. He went to her father's house to redeem her. The father likes him, keeps him overnight. It came to pass on the 4th day, kept him 3 days. When they arose early in the morning, that he rose up and depart, and the damsel's father said unto his son-in-law, comfort thine heart with a morsel of bread, and afterward go your way. They sat down, did eat and drink, and both of them together, for the damsel's father had said unto the man, be content, I pray thee, and tarry all night, and let thine heart be merry. When the man rose up to depart, his father-in-law urged him, therefore he lodged there again. Father-in-law wanted a drinking buddy in the house, so keeping him there longer and longer. He arose early in the morning on the 5th day to depart, and the damsel's father said, comfort thine heart, I pray thee. They tarried until afternoon. They did eat, both of them, getting all of their fills. You know what? When the servant was sent to get a bride for Isaac, they tried this. When he found Rebekah, went to her father's house, told the whole story. Okay, she's willing to go with you? Yes. Oh, let's keep you here for 10 days. No, no. I will be on my way. I must fulfill my mission. This is an analogy of here of not doing what you know you need to do. Just tarrying in the pleasures of the world when you should have been out and doing and going your way. When the man arose up to depart, he and his concubine and his servant, his father-in-law, and the damsel's father said unto him, behold, now the day draweth toward evening. I pray thee, tarry all night. Behold, the day groweth to an end. Lodge here. Thine heart may be merry. That means have some alcohol and be happy. And tomorrow get you early on your way, that thou mayest go home. But the man would not tarry that night. But he rose up and departed, and came over against Jebus, which is Jerusalem. There were with him 2 asses saddled, his concubine also with him. When they were by Jebus, the day was far spent, and the servant said unto his master, come, I pray thee, and let us turn into this city of the Jebusites and lodge in it. And And his master said unto him, We will not turn aside hither unto the city of a stranger that is not of the children of Israel. We will pass over to Gibeah. Why are there cities that aren't even inhabited by Israelites within the promised land? Because they disobeyed God and refused to put these people out. These people are becoming as many as they are now. And he said unto his servant, Come and let us draw near to one of these places to lodge all night, in Gibeah or in Ramah. They passed on and went their way, and the sun went down upon them when they were by Gibeah, which belonged to Benjamin. They turned aside thither to go in and to lodge in Gibeah. And when he went in, he set him down in the street of the city, and there was no man that took them into his house to lodging. It tells you right there, there is no respecters of God in the city, because that was one of the commandments under the law. Take in strangers. Be charitable. Behold, there came an old man from his work out of the field at evening, which was also in Mount Ephraim, and he sojourned in Gibeah. But the men of the place were Benjamites. Read that one more time. Behold, there came an old man from his work out of the field at evening, which was also of Mount Ephraim, and he sojourned in Gibeah. But the men of the place were Benjamites. This was a stranger. He was not an Israeli. When he had lifted up his eyes, he saw a wayfaring man in the street of the city. The old man said, Whither goest thou, and whence comest thou? And he said unto him, We are passing from Bethlehem, Judah, toward the side of Mount Ephraim. From thence am I, and I went to Bethlehem, Judah, but I am now going to the house of the Lord. And there is no man that receiveth me to house. Yet there is both straw and provender for our asses, and there is bread and wine also for me, for thy handmaid, and for the young men, which is with thy servants. There is no want of anything. The old man said, Peace be with you. Howsoever, let all thy wants lie upon me, only lodge not in the street. So this stranger, this Gentile, does what the children were supposed to do. Takes him in. So he brought him into his house and gave provender unto the asses. They washed their feet and did eat and drink. That's royal treatment. Mm-hmm. Now as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial, there it is again, Jonathan.
Uh-huh. Son of a bee.
You wonder where the son of a comes from? It comes from that right there, son of Belial. They were men of dark hearts. This name was brought up chapters and chapters back. Certain sons of Belial were sought out when things were needed to be done bad. When bad missions were, when dark things needed to be done, you searched out a son of Belial. So they beset the house round about, beat at the door, and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, Bring forth the man that came unto thine house, that we may know him. You remember Sodom and Gomorrah? What did they say to Lot? Bring forth these strangers, put them outside so that we may know him. We want to rape them. We want to have sex with them. Israel is now in the same category with Sodom and Gomorrah. Specifically, the tribe of Benjamin. And the man, the master of the house, went out unto them and said no unto them, Nay, my brethren, nay, I pray thee, do not so wickedly. This is the exact story. It's the story of Lot without the angelic hosts. Do not this folly. Behold, here is my daughter, a maiden, and his concubine. Them will I bring out now, and humble ye them, and do with them what seemeth good unto you. But unto this man do not so vile a thing. The exact same scenario. Mm-hmm. Willing to offer up his own daughter because he recognizes this as a man of God. But the men would not hearken to him. So the men took his concubine and brought her forth unto them, and they knew her, and abused her all night until the morning. When the day began to spring, they let her go. And came the woman in the dawning of the day and fell down at the door of the man's house. where her Lord was till it was light. They abused her all night. And her Lord rose in the morning and opened the doors of the house and went out to go his way. And behold, the woman, his concubine, was fallen down at the door of the house, and her hands were upon the threshold. And he said unto her, Up, and let us be going. But none answered. Then the man took her up upon his ass, and the man rose up and gat her into his place. When he was come unto his house, he took a knife, laid hold on his concubine, and divided her. She was dead. Mm-hmm. She died on the journey, together with her bones into 12 pieces, sent her into all the coast of Israel. He cut her in 12 pieces and sent one piece to each of the different regions where each of the different tribes stayed. It says, look what happens when you lodge all night in the house of Benjamin. And it was so that all that saw it, there was no such deed done nor seen from the day that the children of Israel came up out of the land of Egypt unto this day. Consider of it, take advice, and speak your minds. He sent a piece of the concubine to each of the tribes with a message. When has anything like this ever been done in the land? Yeah, sure, you're worshiping other gods. Sure, you're having orgies. Sure, you're doing whatever is right in your own mind, is what the Bible just said. There is no law here anymore. But how bad are we going to get before we try to fix this? Look what they have done. And he's asking for an answer. And the answer is going to be atrocious. It takes something of this caliber to slightly wake up the Israelis. And it's not righteous indignation that they will show. It's carnal. It's carnal indignation where they just want to destroy all of Benjamin because of the atrocities he's done. They're a little worse than what we're doing, so let's make an example of Benjamin. But we'll pick that up next time. Been here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible on WVFF 97.7. Absolutely good day to be with you in God's Word. Every day in God's Word is a good word, is a good day. Understand this book, and the only way to do it is to read it over and over and over again. You read it slowly, you read it methodically, read it out loud, let it go into your own ears. And reading in your head is not retained. It doesn't retain quite as well. You know, search this word. God says it does me good. The kings search out my mysteries in my book. And catch up with us on previous episodes at WVFFradio.com. WVFFradio.com. We'd love to have you right along every day. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.